Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for your local Ford dealers pregame show. And now, here are your hosts, Chicago football legend Olin Krut, long snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. Welcome in to your local Ford dealers pregame show. We've got the great Olin Krut, Bears superstar, top 100 Bear of all time. We've got Patrick Manley, the Iron Man, longest-serving Bear in history. I'm Mully from the morning show. And finally, guys, we got a game. The Bears are off the week. The baseball season's over in Chicago. And everyone will be tuned in and getting ready for the Bears at Washington. So many great storylines connected to this game. We've got Tyreek Stevenson returning to the scene of the crime from the foul Mary a year ago that was part of a 10-game losing streak, ruined the season. We've got Ben Johnson coming off a bye. The Bears have lost 10 of their last 11 bye games, and Ben Johnson has been doing a good job off the bye in the last two games with Detroit as the offensive coordinator. His team scored 40 points in the last two bye weeks coming off of that, so that's a good sign. You got changes on the offensive line, a new starting left tackle. You got all sorts of talk about the quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. There's just too many things to really count up. Are the Bears going to stop the run? Are they going to be able to run the football? There's just a lot to talk about coming off the bye and heading into Washington.
It really is a lot to talk about. And it does seem like forever since they played a football game with so much going on. Yesterday I was down at the Chicago Marathon where there's 56,000 runners. I better get that right. I'm over here. Yeah, 56,000 runners. My wife, I want to congratulate her for finishing and all the runners for finishing. And just so much going on in the city with the Cubs playing and all the stuff going on. And keep reminding myself, man, the Bears have a game coming up on Monday night that we got to talk about. And Mully, you mentioned all the things that are interesting about this game. And really, Pat, the number one thing for me is, who are these Chicago Bears? Are they really improving? Or did we just see them go +8? In two games in a takeaway differential, right? And they went +4 against a not a very good Las Vegas Raiders team and won by one. So they went on the road earlier this year, played the Detroit Lions, a playoff team, and got stomped, right? And got embarrassed there in Detroit and couldn't really hang in the game. Can they hang in against a playoff team like the Washington Commanders who think they have Super Bowl aspirations? That's why they went out and got Laremy Tunsil and traded all that all their draft picks for a guy like Laremy Tunsil, so they could protect their young quarterback in Daniels and make a run at this thing. So it's very interesting. And like you mentioned, Mully, all the storylines, lines, and Caleb going home Caleb went back home to where he's from, where he almost won a game last year, even with them handing the ball off to Doug Kramer for a fumble on a one-yard line pass.
Yeah, there is a whole lot, Olin, and congratulations to Wendy. I want to tell this story before we get into the game, is that I was walking around the city yesterday, and everybody's wearing their medals, which is great. Congratulations to everybody that finished the marathon. But there was a man limping, right? Everybody after the marathon has that marathon walk, mm-hmm. and then the mom and the daughter and the son were pulling like a little luggage cart, and they were walking way faster than the guy, and he's sitting there waddling, and I was like, whoa, guys, come on. The man just finished the marathon. You can't wait for him. And he's like, thank you. I've been talking to him for four blocks to slow down.
Hey, listen, Pat, my kids, all they're worried about is could they go get Chipotle up there on Michigan Ave, right?
Right.
I'm like, guys, we got to see mom first. He said, hey, I'm hungry, man. I got to go get Chipotle. But that pain from that 26.2 miles, man, that is real.
Yeah, credit to them and credit to Wendy, man. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's a hell of an accomplishment. I know she's run a bunch of them. And,
right.
That's a great thing, man.
I was going to ask you, Olin, I talked to Layla Rahimi, who was covering it for us on The Score, and she said that was Wendy's 18th marathon, her 12th Chicago marathon.
Wow. That's
unbelievable.
That was her 15th Chicago, and she's qualified. Wow. She's actually qualified for Boston more than three times, but she's run Boston three times. She actually ran Boston pregnant with Leah. So it is pretty amazing. And she doesn't do very much, you know, training, massaging, chiropractic. She doesn't do any of that stuff. So, you know, like you guys are talking about, it's amazing to watch them all run. I'm always amazed when I go down there. It's quite the accomplishment to watch. And and another side note, happy birthday to my daughter, Grace. It's her birthday today in Oxford, Ohio. So happy birthday to her also.
Oh, that's awesome, I'll admit. But it is an accomplishment. And then back to the game real quick. I guess all is well, right? Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards are back, so the run is fixed. I mean, you get a nickel back, it's going to help stop the run and a weak side linebacker. But, no, there are a lot of storylines, and I'm excited to see what the Bears are, Olin. You nailed it there that, you know, they're 2-2, and they've been an interesting 2-2. So they've got a really good test today with this Washington team. Jaden Daniels is back, his second week off. Coming back from a knee injury, and he looked pretty good last week after starting a little rough against the Chargers. But this is a heck of a test for him, and we're going to have it, you know, Monday Night Football with the rematch. You know, the other storyline of Tyreek Stevenson coming back to Washington after that debacle last year. But I got to give Tyreek credit. The last time he played a bad game this year was against Dallas. He bounced back. Or I'm sorry, he played a bad game against Detroit and bounced back against Dallas. So I'm hoping he can bounce back this week, and we'll see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're waiting with bated breath to figure out if Jake Moody will be kicking.
Yes. They say that's the big storyline, Molly.
It's a big storyline. They said that Cairo Santos.
I think the bigger storyline, Molly, is that Manley's all of a sudden an Alabama fan out of nowhere. You know, just kind of.
My daughter,
just
man.
Himself right to that, yeah. He just hooked
front
himself
running.
Right to that bandwagon, didn't
front
he, Molly?
Front running, man. You know it. When your money goes Manley, there, you got to pull for him.
To that point, now, I wanted to ask you, now, this special team, something that people haven't talked about, the Washington Commanders, are they not one of the best, if not the best, special teams in the NFL? Is that a big story, bigger storyline tonight than we're making it?
It really is. Let me get some numbers here. Larry Izzo is the special teams coordinator. He came over from Seattle. And if you remember, Olin, he played when we played. He was with the Patriots,
tough
and he
guy,
was Bill Belichick's guy before Matthew Slater. Great player and has become an excellent coach. But they've got a punt return team and a kickoff return team that is definitely a weapon. So they've got to be ready for that with Deebo Samuel and Luke McCaffrey back there for kickoff returns. They're averaging – oh, I just had it here they are averaging 31.4 yards for Luke McCaffrey, and Samuel is averaging 36.8. And then they've got a punt returner who's averaging basically 15 yards of return. So they've got their hands full in that. So it's definitely a big game for this special teams unit and Richard Hightower.
The is Deebo playing in this game? I mean, there has been speculation. I believe he's got a heel issue. He is playing in the game, okay, but he missed practice last week. He missed Saturday's practice. Okay, he's going to play. They're down McLaurin. He will not be playing. I don't know about the other wide receiver. He could be in or out. They actually, the Bears may have an advantage with injuries. After all is said and done, it would appear that that Darnell Wright is playing. We know they've made a change. They've changed the left tackle. I'll be very curious to see who's up and who's out, because if Wright is playing and he's got an elbow injury, didn't they say he's going to need surgery at the end of the year? Does that mean that you got to have Ozzie Trapillo waiting in the wings? What about what do you do if you're starting Theo Benedict? Do you need to have a left tackle available? I'll just be really curious whether or not Braxton Jones is up and ready. We know they brought Ford up as a defensive tackle because Grady Jarrett is out. We'll get more clarity as we get closer, but it's kind of interesting that coming off the bye, they had a lot of injuries, and really the only guy who's definitely missing is Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Theo Benedict does at left tackle. Obviously, the coaches feel that he's an upgrade over who was there before. Olin, who do you think is going to be the swing tackle? Do you think Ozzie Trapillo will be the active one because he can play left and right, or is Braxton Jones, can he do both of those?
It's a great question, Pat. Yeah. And Mullen, who would have thought in week six we were going to talk about the Bears tackle situation? I know, no one could have guessed that, right?
Yeah.
That this was going to be a problem. But like you're saying, Pat, really excited to see Theo Benedict get out there and get a shot, because the Bears seem to think that they're better with him at left tackle. And just, I guess, Braxton Jones, the mental mistakes were just too much for them to deal with, right? So in the run game, and they're going to Theo Benedict. And like you're saying, that creates a problem with, okay, can Ozzie Trapillo, if Theo Benedict goes down, can he play left tackle, right? Can he go over there with Darnell Wright's injury? I mean, I would suspect that you would suit Braxton Jones just because he is another left tackle there. And you basically said Ozzie Trapillo could not play left tackle during the year, but we'll see what happens. I'm kind of at a loss right now watching what they're doing at their tackle position. And not an easy night, right, for Theo Benedict to become the starting left tackle with Dorrance Armstrong and Von Miller and the group that they got, the Washington Commanders, have to present the Chicago Bears offensive line and who these Chicago Bears are and what we're about to see tonight, man, after watching all the film, Pat, is anybody's guess.
Yeah, no doubt. They've got a very good D-line. And another question I have for you is Darnell Wright. Do we know which elbow it is? And then if it is his left elbow, which would be his inside arm, my opinion, you know, I played college left tackle. I would rather have my outside arm injured than my inside arm.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to look right now because I actually recorded it because he was, to see what the injury was. But
does that make sense to you?
You mean the what arm, outside
arm?
Yeah,
like if he had his left arm, his inside
arm. Just depends on what
arm
you like to use, right? Everyone is so different with their punching.
Okay.
And some guys use two arms. Some guys like their inside arm. Some guys like their outside arm.
Yeah.
I would imagine as a tackle, you want a good inside arm because all these guys now are knocking on your outside arm and bending on you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you want to throw that inside arm to cover your feet. But either way, man, you go out there with an elbow that you need surgery on. Pat, I played with the elbow and I had to get elbow surgery mid-season, and it's not fun.
We have their inactives. So Cairo Santos is out. He is inactive for the game, and Jake Moody – who they signed, it was a draft pick from Michigan, I think, went to San Francisco. He will kick tonight. Jahdae Walker is out, the wide receiver. Grady Jarrett, we know, is out with a knee. Kespagnon, the defensive end, is out. Case Keenum is the third quarterback. Ruben Hippolyte is out. We know DJ Edwards is back, should help the run defense. And Luke Newman, the guard, is out. So that would indicate that that they are going to have Braxton Jones there as a backup left tackle as well as Ozzie Trapillo on the active roster.
So they have four tackles dressed.
Four tackles dressed. Yeah.
And Bates will be the inside guy there.
Bates
right?
will
center
yeah
guard.
He's the backup center, backup guard. Yeah.
Pat, it's his right arm, and it's the typical, you know, you go to grab a linebacker and a running back runs right into your elbow. So it's his outside arm. I, you know, you played tackle more than I've played it, so you would know better than me on what you would, you know, what you
I was
want
more
there.
Of an inside arm person, like what you were mm-hmm. talking about, that I want to have more strength on my inside arm. I just remember Tony Wise always yelling, never get beat to the inside. That's the worst thing you can do. And that was something that even in college that was preached to me is do not get beat inside, you know, the quickest way to the quarterback and all that. So hopefully that helps him a little bit. But it is good to see that he's back. I think if he's healthy enough to play, he should be feeling okay. And I'm guessing it's that ulnar collateral ligament, correct? That it's just, you know, the Tommy John ligament, I guess they call it.
Yeah. it's an interesting situation to tackle. Like we thought it would be going into the year. And, you know, obviously watching that Commanders film again last year, you forgot that Karan Amagaji started at left tackle in that game for the Bears did. And then, you know, Kramer went in and played some left guard, and you know that this offensive line, that left tackle position, Pat and Mully has been in question every year for the Bears, and it's interesting. You know, you talk about all the storylines, Mully. One of the storylines is that you know the Commanders went out and got Laremy Tunsil to fix their left tackle position. He's up for this new award, the Protector of the Year award. That's how good of football he's playing right now.
Wow. Yeah, he. It's interesting that he was traded, to be honest with you. I didn't really understand that. But, you know, there's so many things going on with the Commanders. And, you know, they're one of the best running teams in the NFL because, of course, the quarterback is very good. And they've got they got a seventh-round pick of their own. They call him Bill. But he's a seventh round pick. His name is Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, and they just call him Bill. And he apparently has a 72% success rate on runs, which by comparison, Saquon Barkley is at like 52%. So it's pretty extraordinary that a seventh round pick would be as good as this kid is. The Bears did draft a seventh rounder. We'll see how healthy he is and how much play he gets. But Bill doing some good things for their running game. And, of course, we know the Bears have really struggled to stop the run.
Mm-hmm. And the main storyline tonight, right, Pat? And I think that when you watch the Commanders on film, like you're saying, Mully, these kids are very good running back, and he's done a nice job for them. But their scheme, you know, with Anthony Lynn as their running back coach, run game coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury as their offense coordinator, did a nice job, Pat, I think, marrying like an NFL scheme with the college scheme. I thought it was interesting. I'm sure you thought the same thing watching their film this week, the way they're running RPOs and stuff off of their gap power scheme, the old God's play, right? But also, you know, they drafted their right tackle is a first-round pick out of Oregon, right? And they signed Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys a couple years ago, and they've really put a lot of assets into that offensive line. And their tight ends, they block really well. And the Chicago Bears, in what they were really struggling with going into the bye week, which was stopping the run, they've got a really big challenge tonight.
How much does a linebacker change that, Olin? I mean, it's interesting to hear people talk. You know, Grady Jarrett is out, as we mentioned, but they've got Edwards back, and they've got Kyler Gordon back. And Gordon is a guy that could – he is a decent tackler. I mean, he could help the run game. You don't rely on a nickelback to do that, but we'll be fascinated to see how they use him tonight.
Go ahead, Pat. I'm interested to hear what you saw on film also.
Well, what I saw last week is some of the gash runs. Like, Big Bill is not doing his job of the double teams. You know, I don't see him holding at the point of attack like he has in the past. And I see some of those gash runs that Genty had last week for the Raiders. He was part of the problem. And what that does is that causes problems with the linebackers flowing to the ball. I see them missing gaps. I see them overrunning the ball. I see them under you know, kind of running behind. But I see the issue really to me with the linebacker play has a lot to do with the D-line up front just getting beat. They're just flat getting blocked. And that's, you know, you heard the coaches talk about, you know, getting off blocks and making plays. That's just physically getting beat. And that's what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's not only Big Bill, right? We expect a lot out of him, even though he did cause that fumble and stop that quarterback sneak against the Raiders. But, you know, Adio, I mean, Bengals is getting blocked off the ball. Yep. Shamar Turner is 7-8 yards down the field. Yep. Javon Dexter is getting blocked. So I thought it was a little better, Pat, at three technique against the run than he has been at nose guard, right? I'd consider even using him at DN sometimes and putting a Big Bill and Jonathan Ford in there. You got to find a way to slow down this run game. Now, Molly, to your question about TJ Edwards, if you do have a guy on the field who recognizes what's run is coming by the personnel and the formation and the down and distance that the offense is in, that is a big advantage for the defense. And Pat, we've all played against guys where like you line up and, you know, kind of like Luke Kuechly or Ray Lewis.
Bobby Wagner. They got
Bobby
one in
Wagner.
Washington.
Yeah. Yes. Where they're yelling the plays, right? They're yelling, you know, watch Powers coming over here to this side. And you're like, man, he's right, right? Like, so a guy like TJ Edwards can help with that. But like Pat is saying, man, if this D-line keeps getting moved 2-3 yards off the ball, Mully, it's just hard to stop the run for anybody, for any team, for any linebacker, for any safety coming down the box. Yep. If the D-lineman is not changing the line of scrimmage, it just makes it really, really tough.
All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll bring in Mark Rohde, and you're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
In all seriousness, it is like, is the weather something that you guys are thinking about? And
we always have to think about that. That always goes in the equation for the kicking game, certainly. It goes into the game for our entire team in terms of when you're talking about the proper shoes, because if the field's gonna not be the quite as much traction as normal, we need to make sure we have the right footwear on. And then, you know, it'll be potentially the first time I've been around this crew and some rain. You know, I know we got to get used to playing in the elements. It's going to be a big deal for us come December and January. And so it'll be good. I kind of hope that we do get some elements. I mean, that's what the good Lord made football for, I think. It's to play outside and get the experience.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We've got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and you heard the voice there of our guest. That was Mark Rohde checking in on the alleged nor'easter. I think he was reporting that it was going to be hail that turned to fire or something for tonight's game. But it has been drizzling for the last couple of hours in Washington, and we are just so thrilled and excited to welcome in the aforementioned Mark Rohde. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Circa Sports betting the way it should be. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, Mark, you didn't go. You stayed in Chicago. It's a little disappointing. You can't tell us how the field's holding up.
I was intimidated by the nor'easter, and I can tell you, I am. I still have a phone that does tell me that right now it is 57 degrees in Landover, Maryland. Light rain, but the rain stopping soon. The light rain continue until 8:18 p.m. tonight. So it looks like the wet stuff is going to get out of there, and I don't know if we should be rooting for it to be sloppy conditions or not, but it looks like it's going to be a decent track in Landover, Maryland tonight.
Hey, Mark, no matter the weather, the run game is the biggest issue. I was curious if it was going to be kind of a sloppy Cliff Kingsbury run attack against the Bears, but what's been the talk, I guess, the last 2 weeks up at Hallis Hall about how to get this thing fixed?
Well, it seems like Ben Johnson has made it pretty clear, literally saying that he has spent, you know, more time both trying to figure out how to run the ball and stop the run, and stopping the run is what we're talking about here, because it's been a mess, really, going even back to last year. When last we saw the Bears playing, they gave up 240 yards to the Raiders. And you go through every single game the Bears have played this year, and there's been a big, important run by the opposition. Obviously, Ashton Gentry, the 64-yard run. Minnesota, beginning of the year, Jordan Mason had a 20-yard run. Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs, a 42-yard run. Javonte Williams of Dallas, a crucial 22-yard run. So every single game, it has been costly for the Bears. And look, to me, it is, of course, you've got two guys coming back in T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon. And I know Kyler Gordon likes to get dirty in the run game every once in a while. Likes to get nosy in the run game, I think, is the way Ben Johnson put it. So those guys will help. But really, it's about the guys up front. You know, I've been calling for Jervon Dexter, Andrew Billings, Shamar Turner, Dio Dangbo. A big stop on the run, a tackle for loss, somewhere along the line, just to get the defense hyped up. And they've got, because it's not, because if they give up 240 yards against this team, forget about it. You're not going to lose. The Bears in a lot of ways got lucky against the Raiders. So it's just such a crucial problem, and any defense worth its soul, at the minimum, you've got to control the run game. And the Bears just haven't been doing that.
Grody, talk to us a little bit about Theo Benedict and what the Bears expect to see out of him as far as improvement over Braxton Jones. And then when you're done with that, if you could break down for me how I've been on the score so long and I have no reads compared to Mully and Pat to promote certain products.
Oh, really?
No, I have zero reads, Grody. I'm on my 20th year here with zero reads.
I tell you what, man. I tell you what. You know, maybe you and I, we do a little. You and I do some work together. You and I, we go hit the streets. We go to some stores. We walk in there. It's Grody and Kreutz. We want to endorse your product. That's what I think
Perfect.
Is going to happen.
I'm in.
Olin, you can promote Long Snapper IPA all you want.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm in. Manly, if you can write me up a read, it'd be my first one. I'd appreciate it.
I'll buy you a 4-pack.
Make sure you put the how to pronounce every word in there, please.
Phonetic spelling. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I know you
Sorry,
have a
Grody. Go ahead.
That's all good. I mean, Illinois. I know you got an allegiance to the Champaign, Illinois football team, but maybe you and I, you know, we work on Illinois State together. But yeah, the Theo Benedict rise has been fascinating. I got to be honest with you, I'm telling on myself here, but when Theo Benedict started to join the left tackle competition, when things seemed to be going haywire and they weren't getting what they wanted apparently out of Braxton Jones, Ozzie Trapillo was showing that he wasn't ready to be a left tackle in the NFL, and they put Benedict in, and I said it out loud. I said, this seems like a prop to me. It seems like they are trying to motivate these other guys and say, hey, we'll put Benedict in if you guys can't do it. They're serious about Benedict. We know that now. And I think that what to watch with Theo Benedict is that I think he's going to get a – he's gonna, unless he is just horrible over this game and the next couple of games, I think it's his job to lose. He didn't exactly say that to us when we talked to Theo Benedict. And maybe Braxton Jones is still pound for pound at this moment – the better option at left tackle, but I think they see Theo Benedet as the guy, like, in their future, in the next few games, to improve and to try to nail down the spot. Now, if he doesn't comport himself well, if he's not good, then you could see a scenario where Braxton Jones is ready and waiting. But I do think that this is the guy that they have seriously pointed to and identified as far back as training camp as a guy that they want to go in their future with. We've seen Ben Johnson little by little chip away at some of the things that were in place and seemed like they weren't going away on Ryan Poles' watch. One of those is Braxton Jones, who, of course, was Ryan Poles' own project, who brought in, and we were all surprised when he started at left tackle. So it's sort of interesting the way Bears' life has worked itself out. Chipping away at the running, Roschon Johnson, they clearly don't like him as a running back. So you see Ben Johnson chipping away at that spot as well. So little by little, we're seeing, and I should mention Dan Roschar, and I do wonder how much Dan Roschar, the Bears' offensive line coach, has to do with this too, because that guy is about as straight of a shooter as there is in terms of being critical of the guy, praising the guys, but telling you where the issues are. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. Hopefully he'll be able to hold off what is a very good defense for the Washington Commanders and Dorrance Armstrong, who's already got 5 sacks. Von Miller still doing it with 3 sacks. Hell, I know you guys mentioned Bobby Wagner, who is terrific still, has gotten to the quarterback a couple of times as well. So they're going to have to be on alert, and Benedet will be tested early.
You know, I'm curious, Mark, if you talk to any of – I know you talk to everyone – this week, I'm just curious, did you get a chance to talk to some of the ex-Washington players? You know, Bigsy wrote a story on Montez Sweat, and, you know, it wasn't particularly flattering. His production hasn't really been there, and here's a guy going back to Washington where he began his career. Now he's a $100 million player, and he's not really – kind of living up to that. They also have Olamide Zaccheaus, who goes back to the team he was at. Now he's you're getting a lot more bang for your buck. I think he's on a 1-year, $1.5 million deal, something like that, and seems to be doing pretty well for himself. Curious what his thoughts are about going back to an old team.
I did have a talk with Montez Sweat, and he was pretty guarded in terms of showing any kind of emotion about going back to Washington. I brought it up to him, and the first thing he said was, oh, yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. You know, obviously it was, you know, 2 years ago. And then as the conversation went on, he was like, yeah, you know, I'll feel it a little bit, but certainly downplaying it. I can't imagine that he's not pumped up for it. Trust me, if Montez Sweat gets a tackle for loss or a sack or two, he's probably going to feel a little bit of an extra surge. Of course he's more motivated, but certainly downplaying it. I did not get a chance to talk to Olamide Zaccheaus in terms of going back to Washington, but you know, he's been a key player in terms – it really feels like Caleb Williams – has a certain amount of comfort with Zaccheaus. Yes. Obviously, Roman Day has been, you know, his number one target, and things are coming along nicely with DJ Moore. But there is a certain, you know, quarterback friendliness to Olamide Zaccheaus, as was advertised, as we knew from watching him with the Commanders. But Olamide will be feeling it. Montez will be feeling it, and Caleb, to some degree, even though he feels more California than he does Maryland or Washington, D.C., but those guys will all be feeling it for sure.
Hey, Grody, what's the deal with Jake Moody being pulled up? This is my question here. I understand Cairo's injured, but when he was signed, everybody had a big question mark behind the signing. Has Cairo been kind of banged up for a couple weeks now, and now it's really aggravated, or is this just something that popped up and now it's time for Jake to take his spot for this week?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's tough to call because as the week went on, the attitude it felt like at Hallis Hall was that Cairo Santos would be okay. On Saturday when I went out to Hallis Hall, Ben Johnson was asked, well, what if, you know, you get to game time and Cairo's not really feeling it? And the answer was, don't worry, we have a plan. What we didn't realize was that the plan all along was most likely that Jake Moody was going to be the guy, which he will be the guy tonight. For people who don't know, the former third round pick out of San Francisco who played with Seattle this year. He was 1-for-3 in his first game, and Seattle was like, nah, no more. And then the Bears picked him up right around the time when Cairo Santos was struggling a bit. And then Minnesota game where he couldn't kick the ball through the end zone. And then the missed 50-yard field goals. A lot of us were wondering, like, why is Jake Moody here? So it is fair to wonder, Patrick. And they were very vague with us, very and defensive, quite frankly. Richard Hightower, very defensive when we were asking questions about Moody. And the company answer from the Bears was, we like good prospects. When we see good players on other rosters, we like to bring them in. And in fact, it would seem to me that they knew something was wrong, something was aggravated, something was bothering Cairo a while ago. I don't have like the facts to back that up right now, but you can kind of connect the dots that something more was going on now that it's come to pass that here we are. And an hour ago, we find out that Jake Moody is the kicker. So there will be certainly be some follow-up questions, if not after the game tonight, tomorrow, on what exactly is going on with Cairo Santos.
Great stuff, Mark. Appreciate it.
You guys are the best. By the way, Olin, I got like 4 calls during that segment of endorsers that want to work with us. So I'll pick you up tomorrow about 3:30, buddy. Talk to you guys later.
Behind the closed door, holding me down, Grody.
By the way, Biggs did write that Cairo Santos, his quad injury flared up over the weekend, that they did think he was going to be able to start the game, but it apparently flared up. So it's quad
nobody
injury.
Believes that here. Nobody on this show believes that.
No, nope. Nobody. No one. It's just a web of lies. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to your local Ford Dealers pregame show on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Geno Smith gonna run for it, and he is picked again. Tyreek Stevenson with a mesmerizing play, and that turns the tides in Chicago's favor quickly as Geno Smith throws his third pick in 2+ quarters.
Boy, is that Stevenson still down? You saw him land awkwardly on his side, Arch, as he sacrificed his body to make that diving, lunging pick, offering up his body to make a play for his team. Unbelievable.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We've got Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley here. I'm Mully from the morning show, and you just heard our it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold, and Tyreek Stevenson returning to the scene of his greatest professional embarrassment, that Fell Mary pass from a year ago. He's red hot right now. This is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Tyreek Stevenson, he has a pick, a forced fumble, four pass defenses in the last couple games. He's a guy that that really is playing well for himself and for Cold, kind of unfortunately, given that he's been benched. Braxton Jones would probably be considered Cold right now, benched on the bye week, and here's a guy who's contract is running out at the end of the year, and he's playing for his future, and unfortunately didn't come back well enough from his injury, apparently. You know, they wanted him to get stronger. They talked about that. Hard to do a lot of work when you can't walk, and apparently they have replaced him now with Theo Benedict, so he will be our Cold player, sadly. Feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm. And Tyreek, he's been a fun story, hasn't he? Everything
great story
he's been through. And obviously the first 2 weeks didn't go great either, as Pat mentioned earlier. But the last two games where there was a fumble he caused against the Cowboys on that 22-yard run, or the interception, by the way, Montez Sweat was putting pressure on Geno Smith. You know, something we haven't seen often enough this year with the pass rush. And if you watch the Commanders game last year, Pat, everyone talks about that last drive by Caleb. Well, they would have won the game 15-12, right? So the defense did do a good job. Coach Eberflus them held them to field goals the whole year. The defense, the pass defense, no matter who Daniels has their receiver, stopping the run, keeping them, the Commanders, out of the end zone and not getting to the track meet, really big. And Tyreek Stevenson, obviously, with Johnson out, becomes a big key to tonight's game.
I'm interested to see, too, what Dennis Allen does with Kyler Gordon. How much does this change the defense? You know, he talked about it. Everybody's talked about it on the station about how excited he was to have him as a defensive piece in his defense. Are we going to see something different? Are we going to see him? I think Matt Bowen talked about it, who, Olin, you know, I know you respect him. We all respect him a lot of his football knowledge of possibly, you know, following Deebo Samuel around, and that could change up guys' responsibilities on the back end. So I'm interested to just see how Dennis Allen dials up this defense on the back end with Kyler Gordon back. And then also we talked about what would he do with the run game. You know, you have 2 weeks as coaches to kind of fix this. What does he come up in his coaching office with his assistants to see how they can stop the run against this Washington Commanders team? Because their offensive line, like we talked about early, is blocking it up very, very well. And Anthony Lynn and Cliff Kingsbury are calling some good plays. I can't remember what game it was, though, Olin and Mully. It was a couple weeks ago where Cliff Kingsbury only ran the ball 13 times. And when I heard that and saw that, I was like, oh, maybe we can get a coordinator to get excited to throw the ball with Jaden Daniels back with a healthy knee and 2 weeks back being healthy. That would help the Bears. But I'm scared to they're too good of coaches to know what this defense is struggling with. So I see them running the ball against them. But I am excited to see what Dennis Allen does put together scheme-wise with some of the guys back and the pieces he has back.
And with Kyler Gordon, there are times when he's reminded me of Rondé Barber as a guy, a blitzing corner. There are times when you can use him the way Tampa used to use Rondé Barber. He was a great pass rusher coming off the outside on blitzes, and I wonder the same thing, Patrick, because he talked about the different things the guy can do. And the guy is a exceptional kind of quick twitch athlete, can jump and dive and do all these incredible pirouettes. And, you know, he was trained in ballet and in karate or martial arts of some kind. I mean, just an extraordinary athlete.
Yeah, and he can also do backflips or the front flip, whatever he does, the Spider-Man flip. But he is impressive. It's unfortunate he's been injured as much as he has.
Yeah.
But when he is on the field, man, he's a fun football player to watch. You know, he got the contract he got. But let's see if he can stay healthy from here on out. But it just is going to be interesting because there's a lot of respect for Dennis Allen across the league for what he can do with defenses. And when he talks about a player, I think when a coach talks about a player – you know, they don't do that often, you know, in introductory press conferences. And when they do, they've seen something on tape that they're excited to exploit, to use, and we'll see what they can do. I mean, it has been 2 weeks. He's kind of been back on the practice field. How much can you really change the defense? I don't know. How much of the guys can they change the, you know, the scheme around? But we'll see tonight. It'll be a fun challenge for him.
His ability to bend, as Molly is talking about, and Rondae Barber is a great comparison. His ability to bend off the edge on those nickelback blitzes, Pat, that are hard to pick up for offensive linemen. He does a nice job, and even sticks his nose in there on the run, and he can cover guys. And he does. He has been good when on the field, but with his size, it's because of all that that he does get nicked up, that he does get injured, right? Because he's in there with the big guys. So it's going to be fun, though, because Dennis Allen has been a magician, right, on third downs. First two veteran quarterbacks in Dak Prescott and Geno Smith, he has confused both of them and dropping it through zone. And Byard, great job on those interceptions. And then Dak, he turned Dak Prescott into a tight end check down machine. It was crazy to watch, man, that they were selling that, you know, that simulated pressure, and they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And they're and you know, credit Al Harris, the defensive back coach, for getting them ready, because as we talked about, there isn't much pressure from the front four for the Chicago Bears. So a lot of this has been done through coverage, through covering guys and making plays. And Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon on the field together will be fun. And with T.J. Edwards back, we're all hoping that that does clean up some of the mess that we've seen there on run plays.
Great stuff. All right, we've got to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We'll get to the quarterbacks. We'll make our predictions. We're running out of time on this show, but you are listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You were looking at that class. What did you like about kind of what those six guys went that first round? Was there a, was it a different flavors thing, or was it just overall just strength?
Yeah, I think, you know, the college game's so unique that each one's a little bit different with what they put on tape, but I thought they were just, you just start with the throwing of the football. I thought all those guys were elite at throwing the football accurately, and that's always a good starting point, because, you know, I kind of go back to Bruce Arians back a few years ago talking about quarterbacks still, they need to still be able to execute on third down and in 2 minutes. I think that's, you get all these athletes nowadays coming on out, and if you can't really picture them excelling in those two situations, I think you kind of hamstring your football team. And so in regards to that draft class, I thought all those guys were capable of winning games for you with their arm on third down in 2 minutes.
We're back with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's your local Ford dealers pregame show. That, of course, is the voice of Bears coach Ben Johnson talking about that great quarterback class, and they've all done very well. But got to ask you guys, who's the better quarterback at this point? Is it Caleb Williams? He was the first overall pick in that draft with Jaden Daniels going second. Who's going to be the better player moving forward in the next 5 years or so? And is it even fair to ask a question like that, because Daniels made it to the NFC Championship game, had a big upset of Detroit, while Caleb led the league in play callers a year ago and now is on his fourth different play caller in his young career. What's your take on Caleb versus Jaden Daniels?
Mully, I'll tell you in about 3.5 hours.
Can we take a moment of silence for the Bears last year? I mean, that was something, man. And we had to, Pat, we had to talk about that nonsense. It was, that
it almost
crazy,
had me quitting,
man. Yeah, I don't blame you. That was, and if you talk about that, Mully, and of course, Jaden Daniels right now is the more accomplished quarterback, right? And, you know, where they'll end up in 5 years will be interesting with Ben Johnson, because you go to the NFC Championship game, you can't say the other guy is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. Now, I think they've been pretty even this year so far, just watching the film and the things that they are doing. But Jaden Daniels did have, you know, almost 20 more starts than Caleb coming out of college, right? He had 55 starts. I think Caleb had 37 or something, and played for, you know, Herm Edwards and all the talk about an NFL coach and, you know, was taught NFL concepts and the game, getting the ball out. And you do see a lot of those things on film when you're watching it. But I also see that with Ben Johnson and the coaching staff that he has this year, Pat. I see him creeping up on that now. I see him getting better and trying to do the things that we all know when you watch NFL football games. You heard Coach Johnson just talk about at the end of games. You said last week, Pat, and Ryan Poles has mentioned it, when it's time to be Superman, and raise the level of the players around you. So it'll be interesting where they are 5 years from now. I think, to be fair to Jaden Daniels, you have to say that he is the more accomplished and better quarterback right now, although if you compare their film within the last 2 weeks, there isn't that big of a difference to quarterbacks who are extremely talented.
Oh, and that's a great point, because the last 2 weeks we've seen a lot of growth with Caleb, and I think what I've seen is Caleb become a pro quarterback, winning from the pocket, like what Ben Johnson was there talking about, Bruce Arians making throws on third down in 2 minutes, is running the system, not being the Superman guy all the time that we're talking about. And that's the improvement I've seen with Caleb Williams, that he's letting the game come to him. He's playing from the pocket. He's getting coached by Ben Johnson to become a pro quarterback. As far as the better quarterback, yes, Jaden Daniels. You can't lie what he's done so far. Like last year going to the NFC Championship game, you know, you can't compare that. But this year, the growth happens, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is from these quarterbacks. And I'm seeing a lot of growth in the last 2 weeks. And I want to see this continued growth of Caleb. And I want to see him continue to be a pro quarterback. Win the game how you've got to win it. Just don't go out there and backyard ball it all the time. If the game calls for you to throw it 35 times, throw it 35 times. If it calls to throw it 20 and you've got to run the game, great. But also give what the defense takes you and run it from the pocket. And he's doing a better job of that as well, and not taking sacks. His stats are showing that.
Yeah.
And just you watch the game. He looks more like a pro quarterback now. And I think that has a lot to do with Ben Johnson coaching him, him taking the coaching, and him learning how to be a pro.
All right, it's time to pick the game. Who wants to go first? I don't know who's up.
I'll do it. It's just everything comes down to the run game here. And you talk about 2 weeks, the Bears can fix the run game on the offense and the defense. I just don't know how much you can really fix it, especially in a bye week with the new CBA. They don't have a lot of pads on.
Yeah.
You're not really working, you know, run fits and having a training camp style defense. And then what I've seen on film is guys just physically getting beat. I don't know if that can be better over 2 weeks of rest. Maybe the offense can get better scheme-wise with Ben Johnson. I believe in him a little bit more. But I think this game just really comes down to the run game and stopping the run. I just don't know if they can do it. So I don't have a good feeling. I've gone into every game hoping the Bears can win, but this one I just don't feel good. Stewing on it for 2 weeks, I have the Commanders winning 27-21.
Manly, man, you were supposed to come up with the takeaways in bunches.
I know,
man.
I was waiting on you. 2 weeks, that's gone.
You
that's
know?
Gone.
I know.
They come
know,
in bunches. Was... The bunch is gone. There's a hole in that little bucket, man. I think they're gone. I thought about that, too, and I'm like, I just don't know. Nope.
I was feeling the same as you, and my family text chain is going crazy with the Bears, and I got Stevenson's pick six in here, and they're trying to convince me how the Bears are going to win this game. My son's at Illinois, and my daughter at Miami, Ohio, and everyone's on the text chain telling me Bears, and I'm saying I watched the film, guys, and like Pat said, I don't know how they stopped the run. And when you go over, okay, Caleb has improved, and he has looked better, but so did Bryce Young against the Cowboys defense, right? So did he did yesterday. So really interested, though. I will say this for the Chicago Bears. They got me interested in watching this game on who they are versus a playoff caliber team, right, in the Washington Commanders, and really want to see them go out there and Pat, so to speak, prove us all wrong, right? Because I think they beat two pretty bad teams the last two times out, and they were +4 and only beat the Raiders by one in a game that you would say was a neutral site. It wasn't really in Las Vegas with the Bears fans. And just a lot of things when you look at it. Go out there and prove us wrong, because running the ball and stopping the run doesn't seem like a strength of the Chicago Bears right now. And the left tackle against Armstrong and their pass rush. And it's a tall task for them today in a new system and coming off a bye week where you don't get a lot of pads anymore. And Mully, I got the Commanders beating them 31-17, and just hoping that the Bears are better than we think they are.
Yeah, they're getting, I believe the Bears get 4.5 points if you follow the books on this one. And I think I took the Bears losing by three, which I thought was like winning. I mean, if you could tell me they're going to get four more takeaways and block a kick, I think I'd feel better about it. But it just seems like on the road, it's a real big ask. It just seems like it's a difficult place for them, even coming off the bye. And, you know, here's hoping that Ben Johnson can get 40 points out of this team. That would be sensational. But I think that you'd have to say exactly, Pat, what you're talking about. Can they stop the run? Can they run the football? And it feels like, you know, Washington will be able to control time of possession. And so you wonder if the Bears can get some big strikes in this game. And I don't know that I'm overly confident about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, the only way the Bears could win it would have to be a shootout. If somehow Ben Johnson gets this offense rolling, and like you said about the clock management, if they hold the ball too much, then you can't score enough points. But if the Bears can get this offense rolling, that's the only way I see them winning, because I see the Commanders scoring 30-plus points. I just do. When you watch that tape, Olin, they look like they're getting better. They look like they're better than they were last year. Just who they've acquired, Laremy Tunsil, Lattimore, yes. Like whoever they have out there, they just look like a better team, and that's what scares me. And this is a real test for the Chicago Bears tonight.
Well, there's always like four things you talk about, right, when you go on a run on the road. Run the ball, stop the run, rush the quarterback, and protect the quarterback. And it seems that the Commanders are better at all of those right now. So that's why when you're looking for advantages for Chicago Bears, and that's why I asked you early in the show, Pat, and you shot me down again, was on a special team.
Special teams,
no. Okay, looking for a return, and you know, just
they might be the best unit in the NFL, the Commanders.
Yeah, so I watched just a little bit of it, and I don't know anything about it like you do, and I was thinking these guys are very good, and you confirmed that for me. So the Bears are going to – they could take a step tonight in all of our eyes, right, Mully and Pat? They could tell us, look, we are a good team. We can compete against a playoff team on the road at their stadium.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Also, you know, I hope the offensive line improves. Drew Dahlman given a three-year, $42 million deal. Joe Tooney, they traded a fourth-round pick for him, $16 million on his contract left. Jonah Jackson, they gave up a fifth-rounder, and they're paying him $17.5 million. I just worry that, you know, you thought their strength could be on the offensive and defensive line, and they've given $100 million to Montez Sweat, and that's not really proving a very good deal. And they gave 3 years at $48 million to Dayo Odengbo, and it looks like the Colts are a significantly better team without him. And that's not a shot at him. It's just the reality of how well they're playing and how you haven't seen the kind of bang for your buck from different guys. And as we say, you know, you go through that, you go through the tape, you look at everything, and you bench Braxton Jones. Now, I don't know.
Here's my finger.
Trying to get me fired up, aren't you, Mully?
Yes.
Trying to get me rolling, aren't you? I've been yelling about this since August, man.
Your best line was when you have four tackles, you don't have a single tackle.
You don't have one, man. Yeah. You shoot them all up tonight.
Yeah,
you get up. You got them all. I've never seen that many tackles suited in my life.
No, that was a great line you had.
All right, we'll don't forget. We'll be on later tonight. I won't be on. I got to get up at 3:30 to get downtown for the morning show. But Chuck Swirsky, the great Chuck Swirsky, will be here with Olin and Patrick, and they will be breaking down the game the minute it ends, so make sure you tune back to 670 The Score, and you can check in on the Odyssey app, whatever. Want to thank Adam Staszynski for his great work tonight. Get us all hooked up and going. And Olin, we will talk to you tomorrow morning. Guys, we got Edwards as our Bears guest, and he hasn't played yet, so he's declined to talk. So please God, he makes his debut with the morning show at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. That would be great. And Patrick, mm-hmm. I think you're on. Are you on tomorrow or are you
I will be on tomorrow. It's a Tuesday,
okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. So there'll be plenty to talk about. And, you know, here's hoping things go a little better than we are anticipating with the game tonight. Thanks, everybody, for listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.